You ever get to the point where you just think you have too many windows open on your computer and you can't figure out which one am I supposed to press? I have no idea. All right. Oh, I had a recording going and I didn't know that I had a recording going, and it's a mess. I got too many windows open. All right. I must carry on. Welcome. It's Eric Erickson. It's my show. The phone number is 877-973-7425 if you want to call in. We're still on the backup. Hopefully one day we will have like physical phones again, so there's no delay in the conversation. It's starting to get annoying, but we're on the software backup right now. Now, we gotta switch gears pretty dramatically, because there are several stories out there. Hang on. I gotta pull back up this other story, because this one it just kind of left me scratching my head, and I suspect because I'm an expert, I might be able to string a number of stories together for you. I don't know. I'm gonna do my best, but there was a story that caught my eye yesterday from the Associated Press. That Google is now on their website, when you search flights, you'll be able to see the climate impact of planes. Here's the tweet from the Associated Press. According to the Associated Press, searching for flights on Google just got greener. The tech giant has debuted a tool on Google Flights that tells users which flights in a search result have lower carbon emissions based on such things as an aircraft's age. When you click through the story, here's what we see. A basic search for flights will give an estimate of how many kilograms of carbon dioxide the flight will spew from start to finish. Users can prioritize their search by emissions, much as they can by price if desired. Flights with emissions below the median get highlighted in green. Google said the estimates are a combination of data from the European Environmental Agency and flight-specific information it gets from airlines and other providers. The data could include an aircraft's age, model, and configuration, the speed and altitude it flies at, and the distance between the flight's origin and destination. Some flights may not have estimates because of a lack of data or certain aircraft or other information is missing. So if you want to fly on a plane and you want to make sure your carbon footprint is low, you can prioritize that. I myself want to fly on a plane that gets me where I want to go on the schedule I wish to go. It's one of the things now with some sites, like even on Delta now, you can go to Delta and I want to fly. Well, for example, I want to go see my dad for his birthday. I want to go over on November 5th. I want to come back on November 7th. His birthday's November 6th. I want to come back and I want to leave at a certain time. And I want to come back at a certain time and I can get this little window. Hey, if you want to come earlier, the flight's going to be a little too. No, I don't want to come a day earlier. I know when I want to go. I really want to fly private more often. Man, once you do it, it ruins everything. Can't afford it. But I couldn't care less about how green my flight is. Some people, however, care tremendously. It is becoming a thing. Now, I use that story and I pivot to another story. This is from The Guardian. The climate crisis is taking a growing toll on the mental health of children and young people. Experts warn increasing levels of, I can't say what I was about to say. Letters are FFS. Increasing levels of eco-anxiety. The chronic fear of environmental doom. Imagine a world doom oh my gosh, were likely to be underestimated and damaging to many in the long term. Increasing levels of eco-anxiety were likely to be underestimated and damaging to many in the long term, public health experts said, writing in the British medical journal Mala Rao and Richard Powell of Imperial College London's Department of Primary Care and Public Health said eco-anxiety risks exacerbating health and social inequalities between those more or less vulnerable to the psychological impacts. Although not yet considered a diagnosable condition, recognition of eco-anxiety and its complex psychological effects was increasing, they said, as was the disproportionate impact on children and young people. In their article, they pointed to a 2020 survey of child psychiatrists in England, showing that more than half, 57%, are seeing children and young people distressed about the climate crisis and the state of the environment. A recent international survey of climate anxiety in young people aged 16 to 25 showed the psychological burdens of climate crisis were profoundly affecting huge numbers of these young people around the world. We're all going to die. Y'all, I'm sorry. Suck it up. This is notice there's no accountability. I'm sure Mark Zuckerberg and Donald Trump are to blame for this. When you have Greta Thunberg going around the world saying, we're all going to die. And you have your average world leader saying, we've got 10 years left or else. Of course, people are going to freak out. Of course, they're going to freak out. When you tell young people that they're going to die, that the world is going to be upended, that the world is literally going to burn, what do you think is going to happen? By the way, we now know a good deal of the wildfires in Australia and California that captivated the media's attention with dire warnings of climate change were actually arsons. People set the forest on fire. But this is a failure of politicians to not scare the bejesus out of people. And by the way, why are they doing it? You want to get something done? Look at the debt ceiling fight in the United States. You want to get the debt ceiling increased? You needed to manufacture a crisis to make it happen. You want to get major public policy changes in the United States? You got to manufacture a crisis to make it happen. You want to get more funding for your global warming division at your college campus? You better manufacture a crisis or tell them one is coming. Young people are feeling the ravages of old people scaring them so the old people can get more money from their government. That's really what's going on here. Young people are being told the world is doomed and the media is amplifying it. And it's all tied into what is becoming a fatalistic religion. What is a religion? What is a religion? According to the dictionary, the belief in and worship of a supernatural controlling power or a particular system of faith and worship or a pursuit or interest to which someone ascribes supreme importance. Some say the state of a religion is the service and worship of the supernatural, a commitment and devotion to religious faith or observance, a personal set of institutionalized systems of religious attitudes, beliefs, and practices. I would go further. What is a religion? It is a belief or worship of some transcendent power, a commitment to serve that power, and the institutional entrapments designed and created to serve that power called sacraments. The participation in which demonstrates one's loyalty to the cause. You believe Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. You devote your life to glorifying Him, and that includes regular worship with other people in a building called a church, wherein you take communion and do baptisms, the sacraments. If you're Catholic, you got more sacraments. If you are in the environmental religion, you don't go to church, you go to Whole Foods. You practice your religion by trying to be as off the grid as possible to lower your carbon footprint. The larger your carbon footprint, the greater your sin. And the world can be packaged around reducing your carbon footprint to reduce your sin. So now you can go to Google and find out which are the greenest flights to lower your carbon footprint when you fly. You can get solar panels or a windmill for your home for power. You can buy an electric car and be oblivious to the coal plant down the road that's producing the power for your electric car. You can go to Whole Foods and get the homeopathic, organic, homegrown, local produce, non-GMO steered corn that's tiny, shriveled, and costs twice as much and would never feed the poor. You can march in the streets, and you can give money to the cause. And every religion has something beyond a God, beyond the dogma, beyond the orthodoxy, beyond the sacraments. Every religion gives rise to zealots. And zealots give rise to terrorists. There are Islamic terrorists. At a time in the world, there were Christian terrorists. And then as Christianity in the West really took over and organized, you had the state go after others. You had the zealots use the power of the state. Now the religious zealots have terrorists. The New Yorker magazine, the New York Times, they've been focused on a book by a guy who says environmentalists need to learn to build pipe bombs and blow up pipelines for the good of the environment. We need to engage in eco-terrorism. There have been multiple trains connected to lines that carry oil by tanker car that have been sabotaged. You have the Earth Liberation Front. It is a terror group that mostly lives in the Northwest that sabotages things in the environmental cause. And as it comes, you've got 10 more years. You've got 10 more years. You've got 9 more years. You've got 8 more years. The world is going to burn. The world is going to burn. What are you going to do? They get even more violent. And we're imposing, are imposing their anxiety about the future on their children who are now beginning to suffer debilitating mental health issues because they think they've been born into a world that's going to die. I've read the end of the book, though this world is going to burn, but not in the way they think. But they have invented a religion, and they've dragged their kids kicking and screaming into their religion. It's abusive. I know people who drag their kids into strange Christian sects that are abusive, and their kids lash out over time. What are the kids of the environmentalists who believe the world is going to die do? Some, like Greta Thunberg, take action, go around the world and scowl angrily at people. What are the others going to do? It's not a healthy situation for any of us. And you know the difference between Christianity and the environmental religion? Really, Christianity and most other all secular religions, but really the environmentalists. In Christianity, if you have your personal relationship with Christ, it doesn't matter what your next door neighbor does, you're going to heaven, even if they go to hell. In environmentalism, as long as your neighbor is still pumping carbon out with his exhaling and has his pickup truck and burns oil and doesn't have solar panels, you too are going to burn. The only way to get salvation in the environmental religion is to wipe out the people who don't agree with you in one way or another. It has a tendency to be violent by design when your salvation is dependent on you forcibly converting the others. We've seen this in the world before. This is not something new. It's just taken on a new shape. And now people are starting to notice it's having a direct mental negative effect in people's kids. Not mine, because we don't dwell on this issue. The way we use the internet, well, it's changed over the last decade. Security tools have mostly stayed the same. Aura provides complete digital security to help protect your online accounts, finances, devices, and so much more in an easy-to-use app. Most credit card companies do a good job of protecting you against fraudulent purchases, but what if a scammer files for unemployment in your name or if your social media account's hacked? Aura's protection goes beyond your credit card. Between your photos, your finances, your devices, your connections, your world's more online than ever. You may have security systems in place for real life, but what about your online life? Aura can sound the alarm if your digital presence is at risk. They provide digital security protection. They keep your online finances, your personal information, and your technology safe from online threats. It's all-in-one protection for identity theft, financial fraud, malware, scam sites, so much more. With Aura, you'll get notified to fraud and threats fast. If your online accounts, your passwords are leaked online, someone, you're going to be told by Aura. Like a lot of people, they won't tell you. Aura is easy to set up. All plans come with $1 million in identity theft insurance to help recover stolen funds, and experience U.S.-based customer support that's got your back. For a limited time, Aura is offering you guys 40% off plans when you visit aura.com/Eric, E-R-I-C-K. You go to aura.com/Eric, again, E-R-I-C-K. You get complete protection. You get savings of up to 40%. That's aura.com/Eric, aura.com/Eric. All right. I got to say something. I got to acknowledge something. Hang on. Let's see if we can get it started, because it's important to me. It's important to you. It should be important to all of us. Make sure everything is aligned here for me to be able to do this. That's right. It is true. He's coming back. Charlie's going to get mad at me because it's going to cause problems with our streaming. They say this music has a flag to it. Yeah, that's the James Bond theme. He's back. And listen, I have not seen it. I don't know anything about it. All I'm going to tell you is that given James or Daniel Craig's belly aching being James Bond, and the fact that this movie is called No Time to Die, and it is a movie that has a logical progression of his life story, he's got to die at the end of this movie. I don't want him to die, but he's got to die. I will actually come away from the movie stunned if James Bond is not dead at the end of this movie. I mean, because you had Skyfall, and you have M transitions to another M, but it's still M. Something's got to happen. They've got to have some sort of logical consistency, because now they're at the point of they want to show that if someone else becomes Bond, how does this person become Bond? It's got to be the last Bond died. They're already got, I do know this isn't really a spoiler, they got somebody else in here who's already got a 007 because they thought at the beginning of this movie that he died. I'm just telling you, he dies. And I don't want him to. I actually really like Daniel Craig being James Bond. He's actually now the longest tenured James Bond, even more so than Sean Connery. I grew up in the Roger Moore era. I remember going to see the Roger Moore movies when I was a kid, and there was a Pizza Hut, and this was back at the time that Pizza Hut was actually good. And you could go to Pizza Hut, and you could do the buffet and get the breadsticks, and then you go to the movie theater that was behind the Pizza Hut. It was fantastic. Yes, believe it or not, boys and girls, there was a time that Pizza Hut was insanely great pizza. It was called the 80s. Ronald Reagan was president. We were the dominant superpower on planet Earth against the Soviets, and Pizza Hut was incredible. And Roger Moore was James Bond. I didn't grow up in the Sean Connery era. Now, I've got an older cousin. My older cousin, Jeff, was a Sean Connery guy. And pretty much everybody my parents' generation and older than me is a Sean Connery guy. Pierce Brosnan, I was very disappointed in because I liked Pierce Brosnan. He was supposed to be James Bond, not Roger Moore, or Timothy Dalton, rather. But he was in Remington Steele, the TV show, and he couldn't be. And they went with Timothy Dalton and finally came to him. And his movies were just silly. Daniel Craig is legit awesome James Bond, and I'm sad to see this be his last movie, and I'm dying to go see this, and a buddy of mine is texting right now saying, I'm going to see the movie. Don't tell me anything about it, but he's got to die. He's just got to, the way they've set this up. Americans continue to navigate through multiple crises this year. We the People, a Bradley speaker series, offers insights and ideas on the current challenges we face from some remarkable organizations the Bradley Foundation supports. Visit bradleyfdn.org/liberty to watch their most recent episode. It features Stephen Suckup, author of The Dictatorship of Woke Capital, How Political Correctness Captured Big Business, an Encounter Books publication. In the episode, Suckup discusses the left's gradual takeover of corporate America and why the free market hasn't been able to prevent it, the dangerous impact of shareholder activism, and efforts to push back on it. That's Bradley, with an L-E-Y at the end, fdn.org/liberty to watch the video. New episodes debut weekly. Go back often, subscribe to their YouTube channel to be notified when a new episode is posted. That's bradleyfdn.org/liberty. Hello there. It is Eric Erickson here. Your calls are welcome. 877-973-7425. If you're going to the Still Fire Brewing event tonight in Suwanee, Georgia, I will be there sometime around 6 o'clock. People donated to help fight childhood cancer a couple months ago, and I said I'd come hang out and have a couple beers, and it'll be a fun night. Now, Emerson College, that's Emerson College that does the polling that's not very good. Emerson College has suspended a campus chapter of the Turning Point USA group. Members passed out stickers critical of China's government. The Foundation for Individual Rights and Education is demanding that Emerson back down or else. This is ridiculous. On September 29th, several TPUSA members passed out stickers featuring a hammer and sickle with the caption, China kinda sus, slang for suspicious. The next day, Emerson's International Student Affairs team sent out a statement to the college's international students decrying the stickers that expressed anti-China hate. Emerson Interim President William Gilligan sent a separate email to the student body in which he promised the college will initiate an investigation. Under pressure from other student groups who accuse TPUSA of anti-Asian bias and xenophobia, including the Emerson Chinese Student Association, the college launched an investigation into the group. In an Instagram video, TPUSA, the chapter, said the stickers were critical of the Chinese government, not the Chinese people. And yet, a formal investigation has been launched. China kind of sus. I thought sus, by the way, was just like another way of saying sucks. China kind of sucks, but China kind of suspicious, apparently. LinkedIn. Let me see if I can actually pull up a news article on this one. I saw it earlier. LinkedIn, China. LinkedIn is banning Chinese or banning journalists. Yeah, this is from the Committee to Protect Journalists. LinkedIn should immediately restore journalists' block profiles in China, be transparent about the process, etc. LinkedIn blocked the profiles of several U.S. journalists from the company's China-based platform in September, according to news reports and tweets by some of the affected. Bethany Allen Ibrahimani, a reporter on China for Axios, and freelance writer Melissa Chang posted on Twitter that they received emails from LinkedIn stating their public profiles would no longer be viewable in China due to the presence of prohibited content. The Chinese Communist Party has asked LinkedIn to block the accounts of American journalists who cover China. Emerson College punishes a Turning Points USA chapter for saying China kind of sucks, or China's kind of suspicious, rather, with a hammer and sickle. You know, we've been talking about the idea of some sort of national divorce. I don't think it would work. I don't want to rehash everything, but I don't think the country is going to break apart. Some people want to break apart the country, not because they think it's going to happen, although if they push and push hard enough, it might. They just want to feel empowered and emboldened, and they want to be the leaders. They're not leaders of anything right now. So, hey, let me manufacture a division of this country and put myself in charge of it, sort of thing. I don't think it's going to happen. If it does happen, I don't think it's going to go the way conservatives think. You and I can sit here and say, well, we own all the guns. Yes, that's true, but the left controls all the port supply chains and manufacturing centers. And there are more of them than there are of us. Don't think they can't figure out how to get guns. I don't think it's going to happen. But I do think there will be more sooner rather than later. We're going to have to stop pretending that China is just adversarial and competitive and is actually an adversary and enemy. And we're going to see people stand up in this country and defend China against us. We will see people in this country. I do. I'm having this text message chain with some friends of mine, and on whether or not we should have a great divorce based on what I've said this week on radio. And I don't think we're going to. And a buddy of mine makes a point I totally agree with. At some point soon, there are going to be external forces impacting this country, and they are going to force us to decide, do we hate each other more than the external forces? Part of what's going on here, you do realize, is 9/11. 9/11 showed the United States that it was not invulnerable, and it had a great psychological impact. The politics of 9/11 have had great psychological impact on the country. It's been divisive. It's amazing to me the number of people I know who loved George Bush when he was president and now hate his guts, and the number of people who hated his guts who love him now because he's not Donald Trump. I've always liked George W. Bush, but I also, when he was president, said he wasn't really the conservative he claimed to be, and that conservatism should not be defined by one man, the president of the United States, but by the history of conservative thought. And people got mad at me. Man, I was writing Red State at the time, and Bushies from the White House would come challenge me in the comments at Red State, and I'd push back on them. Conservatism is not what any man, myself included, says it is the history of intellectual conservative thought. Now, a lot of people who call themselves conservative these days have never read Russell Kirk or Hayek or anything else. They don't know jack about conservatism. They've just decided what Donald Trump wanted was conservative, therefore they're conservative. And if you don't want what Donald Trump wanted, you're not conservative. Donald Trump wasn't a conservative. He's a populist. Donald Trump did the things he thought were popular. He was a conservative populist for sure, as he did the things that people on the center right thought were popular. But it's not like Donald Trump had some deep intellectual underpinnings. And if you think he did, you're a deluded fool. He went with his gut, and that was good enough for a lot of us. And he was surrounded by people who largely were deeply conservative, and that was good too. But conservatism has to mean something. And I don't think Bush was really a conservative. I remember Fred Barnes wrote in the Wall Street Journal that he was a big government conservative. There's no such thing. But I digress. The psychological ramifications of 9/11 and the politics thereof, it really, really started this realignment of the American population politically and what it did to our psyche, very much like, as I mentioned in the last 30 minutes, the environmental angst and eco-whatever they're calling it, eco-anxiety. There's anxiety in this country after 9/11 as tall buildings fell and planes fell from the skies into buildings, and we went off to war, and we've pretty much been at war ever since. And of course, that has a psychological impact. At some point, external forces will come that force us to re-examine our psychological impact. They will probably come from China. And the question is, Do we have what it takes to fight them, or will we cede ground? And there will be many in this country. You will see them show up. We see them latently in the shadows now, who are going to side with China because they've internalized how bad this country is. And it's not. But they think it is. We're the best country that's ever been. And, you know, by the way, I got to say, and I've said this before, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but I have traveled the world. I have traveled the world probably more than 95 to 99% of my audience. Don't say that to be arrogant or to be flippant. I travel the world, or I did as a kid. I've still been to more countries than I have states in this union. And I can tell you with my own eyes and my own experience, we really are the best country that there is. But there are people in this country who have never traveled who despise this country. I always laugh at it's the immigrants who come to this country who want to be Americans, and it's the Americans who've never left this country who want to be something else. And right now, China has become such a dominant force in the world opposite us. They want to take us out. Our fiscal house is a mess. They want to do to us what we did to the Soviet Union, which is essentially Ronald Reagan bankrupted the Soviet Union. China wants to bankrupt us. And we've got to be on our A game against China. They're not a competitor. They're an enemy. And what sort of enemy is China? China is the sort of enemy that would be right at home with the Nazi Party, and I don't say that lightly. China runs concentration camps. China exterminates its ethnic minorities. China persecutes Christians and Muslims. China is going around the world now killing American spies because they hacked the CIA. The CIA servers were not secure. The Chinese and the Iranians have shared data on American spies, and the CIA is starting to realize that its spies are being murdered around the world. The Chinese are having a direct impact on our ability to gather human intelligence. They are ruthless, and they're also deeply unstable. You know the reason why this is happening in China right now, why they're agitating against Taiwan right now, why they're agitating against us. China is not a homogenous people. The distinct regions of China have distinct cultures. Very much like in this country, we've got a southern culture, we've got a New England culture, we've got a West Coast culture, we've got a Miami culture. We've got various cultures in this country, but the cultures in China are more nationalistically oriented. And so China itself, China the country, has to try to keep these people united in some way as China, not as people from the Sichuan province or the Hunan province or the various cultures of China. They work very hard to do that. And the Chinese president, President Xi, is a dictator. And he knows that with the economic instability in China and the social instability in China right now, he's got to have a bad guy. He's got to have a villain, and he is making us his villain. I mean, I don't blame him. If you've got a billion people in a single country and you need to have a villain, well, the United States is a good one to have if you're in his position. The problem is at some point, if you make us into a villain and you don't act, the people turn on you. And so he's going to have to act in some way. And we've got to be prepared for it. And he is a cartoon villain. He is someone that we ourselves are going to have to deal with. And unfortunately, in this country, we see, like at Emerson College or at LinkedIn, people and institutions willing to bend over backwards to play nice with China because they're scared of China and they are in awe of its economic power and they want a seat at China's table. And what they don't seem to realize, what they can't understand, is that they don't get a seat at the table. They will never get a seat at that table. And at some point, American companies, including companies like Apple that I love, they're going to have to decide, are we a global company or are we an American company? And if they're a global company, they're going to more and more bend towards China and away from freedom. And they're going to have to decide. organization like Emerson College, though, banning a student group for saying China kind of sus, China kind of suspicious, that they should be ashamed of themselves, and that they lack even the awareness to be ashamed of themselves tells you the problems we will deal with when the time comes with China. These people, it's pathetic. Shame on them. Folks, I shame on you if you don't take advantage of this good deal from Eden Pure. It's about to go away. It's the buy one, get one Eden Pure Thunderstorm offer. It's an air purifier that will clean the air in your house, and it's filterless. You don't have to buy a subscription. You don't have to keep buying new filters. This thing is filterless. You wipe it out on occasion, and it works. It eliminates odors. It gets rid of the bacteria, the mildew, the mold, the pollen that's floating in the air in your house. You go to EdenPureDeals.com and click on Eric Erickson. When you do, you'll see the Eden Pure BOGO, the buy one, get one. You put it in your cart. You click on the orange checkout button, and at checkout, you will see a discount box. In that discount box, you put in these letters, E-R-I-C-K-B-O-G-O, Eric BOGO. All one word, no space, Eric BOGO. And you will buy one and get one Eden Pure Thunderstorm for free with free shipping to your house. Give one as a gift if you want. Put one upstairs, put one downstairs, wherever you want. It's a great deal. Buy one, get one Eden Pure Thunderstorms. EdenPureDeals.com is the website. The discount code at checkout is Eric BOGO. Well, you know what? It's too late for you to call in now. You had your chance. Tough. All right. Before I get out of here, I'm perturbed with something. I really am. I'm not being facetious here. It is bothersome to me that this is happening around the country. One of the downsides that the Democratic Party, I think, is going to have to deal with is increasingly the elite of the Democratic Party. They may be married, but very frequently they're childless. And a lot of the opinion makers are actually, they're single. They don't have kids. And we're starting to really openly see on the left people who are hostile to parental rights. We're seeing, for example, people think that parents should have no say in their children's education. They're being actually really open about this on the left. They don't believe parents should be in charge of their children's education. I actually vehemently disagree with that. I think parents have to have a direct role. And in fact, one of the things we've seen in this country over the last year is that during lockdown, parents saw what their children were having to learn and were appalled by it. So we're seeing the growth of parental rejection of school demands when it comes to critical theory, Common Core, things like that. And we're now seeing in response to this, in addition to this left-wing antagonism that's being even manifest on school boards and with politicians, that parents should not be able to control their kids' education. Remember, Terry McAuliffe said this, that we don't want parents showing up at the school board telling them what to teach. Yes, actually we do. Children who are the most successful are the ones who have parents involved in their education. If you want your child to succeed and be successful in life, if you want your child to be called boss instead of employee, you involve yourself in their education and they do way better in life. And the left is trying to discourage that. I don't think they understand what they're doing. I mean, to a degree, they do at the political level. They want to be able to use boards of education and public school systems as tools of indoctrination. But it's not just them, even in the private schools. I've got a number of private schools in my area that have gone woke. And the amount of critical theory, now they call it diversity, equity, inclusion. See, what they've done is they've changed the name. It's the same thing, but they call it diversity, equity, and inclusion. How can you be opposed to diversity, equity, and inclusion, you racist bigot? But it's designed to indoctrinate your children. It's not designed to teach your children how to read, learn, process, and think. And the more parents are engaged in their kids' education, the more successful they are, that the left would have people shut out of their kids' education. It's a very bad trend. It really is. And I do think you're going to see greater mobilization out of public schools. And if Republicans were smart, Georgia Republicans, pay attention. you would start allowing school choice and voucher options to get kids out of public schools into private schools. And that's beginning to happen in Ohio, Pennsylvania, and elsewhere. School choice options are in the legislatures. Other Republican states need to follow suit. Y'all, from the moment I sat in my X chair, my body said, this is what a real office chair is supposed to be like. I had gone through office chairs, and then I got my X chair, and it is the perfect chair. In fact, my X chair, unlike your chair, can massage my back while I'm sitting doing 3 hours of talk radio. It can even heat up and cool down depending on my office, which tends to run hot in the summer and cold in the wintertime. And it's all in the LMX massage and temperature regulation exclusively designed for the X chair. And once you feel the customized support of X chair's patented dynamic lumbar DVL, they call it dynamic variable lumbar, your back's going to be happy. What I need you to do, you got to go check out the X chair. Cause yeah, I bought the, y'all know the expensive brand and I bought it. It was a good chair. It actually was a really good chair. And X chair takes it to the next level. What you need to do is go to xchaireric.com now. That's X, the letter X, chair, E-R-I-C-K.com, or call 844-4-X-CHAIR for $100 off your order. X chair has a 30-day guarantee of complete comfort. You can finance your purchase for as little as $30 a month. It's xchaireric, E-R-I-C-K.com. It is worth it.